lean muscle mass. For example, you'll do a set of 8 to 10 sumo squats, which work your inner and outer thighs, and then immediately, no rest between, complete a bicycle move, which works your abs and core, and then take a 30-second rest before moving on to the next paired set. Be reasonable and do not endanger yourself by using weights that are too heavy or trying to get through a workout that is hurting in all the wrong places. Ease yourself into this and be smart. The resistance burn burst moves. Now let's get into the types of hurt moves you'll be completing in this exercise routine. Take a close look at these and make sure you really understand them before you dive in. On the free 2020 Diet app, you will find videos showing you exactly how to do each of these moves with proper form. Again, you will need either hand weights or a resistance band for many of these moves, but start light if this is brand new to you. You can work yourself up to heavier weights over time. You can find clear explanations of the various moves you will be performing in this HURT workout in the Resistance Burn Moves section of your user guide. The Resistance Burn Burst Exercise Routine. You can put all these moves to work in the Resistance Burn Burst Exercise Routine found in the Resistance Burn Burst Exercise Routine section of the user guide. This workout should take about 30 to 45 minutes to perform, and you should work up to doing it a total of 3 days per week on non-consecutive days, so you give your muscles time to recover properly. The idea is to keep the rest period between moves to 30 seconds or less. That's the intensity part of the high-intensity workout. By not letting your body fully recover between sets, you are boosting the overall calorie burn. Program your new active lifestyle. In The Ultimate Weight Solution, I talked about how you should program your life for your new level of activity. Likewise, here are the important steps you need to take in order to make this new exercise regimen just another part of your overall routine. 1. Recognize the payoffs of exercise. The benefits of exercise in any weight loss program are numerous. Exercise has the power to improve overall health and appearance. You need to internalize these benefits so you know why you are making this effort. 2. Make it motivating. These burst training routines can be done almost anywhere with varying types of activities, so choose a place and type that appeal to you. If you enjoy companionship while exercising, get a friend, family member, or coworker to join you. For example, start a walking group at work or in the neighborhood. And here's a tip. Listen to music that motivates you during your workout. Studies show that you're more likely to move or walk faster if you're listening to upbeat music. 3. Consequate your exercise behavior. If you currently find exercise less than desirable, pair it with a positive reward so that in order to get that reward, you must first exercise. For example, you might tell your kids they cannot watch TV until they do their homework. If they don't do their homework, the consequence is no TV. Similarly, find something, anything, that you will not allow yourself to do until you've exercised each day. It could be combing your hair, reading the newspaper, taking a shower, anything that you value and want or need to do. 4. Monitor your progress. You started this program with 2020 vision about what your future would look like when you slim down because it will help propel you to your finish line. Every step of the way, you've got to take mental or physical notes of how you're improving each week. If you are using the RPE scale, take note of how long it takes you to get to an 8 or 9 on the scale. That time will start to decrease. Also, take a full body photo of yourself before you start the program and then more photos every couple of weeks so you can look back and see the change in your muscles and physique. You might even modify your vision of the future as you see what you're capable of and remind yourself that your hard work leads to definitive and measurable progress. Reducing muscle soreness. Anytime you start a new exercise program that your body isn't used to, you are going to experience some soreness in your muscles. Look at it as a positive sign that you are putting those muscles to work so they can work even harder for you as you progress. Your body will adapt to this program and you won't get as sore as you continue it. Here's a word to the wise. As with the cardio portion of this program, make sure that when you are in the recovery period between 30-second high-intensity bursts, you are not stopping activity altogether. You must keep going so that you're at least hitting a 5 or 6 on the RPE scale. Research indicates that this helps your body reduce the lactic acid buildup in your muscles faster than if you were just to stop completely between bursts. Putting it all together. Once you're ready to start this entire program, your first step is to map out what you'll be doing each day of the week. You should even prescribe a set time for each workout so that it's in your calendar and on your mind. It's not just your long-term goal that requires 20/20 vision. You've got to have a schedule for every day and the overall week so you know exactly how you will work exercise into your daily routine. Then you will be far more likely to actually do it. Leaving your exercise to chance and thinking, "I'll do it when I have time," is too risky. Something always comes up, and it's so easy to convince yourself that the something takes precedence over your exercise. Instead, you have to look at this time as sacred. This is your time for your health, and no one is stealing that from you because you are setting up boundaries around this time. I did this in my own life years ago. Everyone understands that I play tennis in the afternoons. During that time, I am unavailable for anything else. Period. If I didn't cordon off this time for my exercise, there's no doubt that someone would take up that hour of my day. It's true in all of our lives. Someone will always need or want something from us. But unless it's a true emergency, you need to give yourself permission to be selfish and stop using the needs of others as your excuse for neglecting the physical needs of your own body. This might mean waking up earlier so you can work out before your day begins. Or you might need to DVR your evening TV show so you can exercise at a time when you're normally nestling down in the couch cushions while munching popcorn, which shouldn't be a part of your evening routine anymore anyway. Use the table in the Putting It All Together section to create your first week of an exercise schedule that makes sense for you. Make sure you are giving yourself one rest day per week. On the downloadable 2020 Diet app, you can create workout calendars and even set reminders for upcoming workouts. This plan can help you change the way you perceive exercise. As you increase your strength and endurance, you'll see and feel the results. Make this a part of your life now and enjoy the benefits for years to come when you incorporate exercise into your routine as a lifelong habit. Chapter 11. When your body won't follow your mind. Are you resistant to weight loss? Never confuse a single defeat with a final defeat. F. Scott Fitzgerald. When it comes to failed weight loss attempts, there are generally two types of people. There are those who know, deep down, that they haven't lost the weight and kept it off as a direct result of something they're doing or not doing. These folks make poor choices. They eat in response to emotion. They don't stick to a plan for any reasonable amount of time. They lie to themselves. They make excuses. And so on. They know that if they would just put in the effort and do what was required of them, they could lose the weight. Then there are those people who really, truly commit to eating healthy, exercising, and living a lifestyle that should, for all intents and purposes, lend itself to achieving a healthy weight. But no matter how hard they try, their weight simply will not budge. When you know, and I mean deep down in your gut, know that you're doing everything by the book, you're conducting yourself and your life in such a way that the only logical outcome is weight loss, but the scale continues to tell a very different story, you feel frustrated, defeated, confused, and downright ticked off. In The Ultimate Weight Solution, I discuss the concept of weight loss resistance. Back then, it was a very new notion, and not one that was widely accepted. Since then, doctors and weight loss experts have conducted more studies on weight loss resistance. It is real. It is recognized by weight loss professionals, and they now have a much better understanding of weight loss resistance and its various root causes. So if you've been putting in the hard work that's necessary for years, but your weight loss attempts have just felt like an endless series of banging your head against the same wall, hear me now. You're not crazy. Weight loss resistance is a description for an entire category of people who, due to certain physiological imbalances, are unable to lose fat through traditional methods of healthy diet and regular exercise. The causes range from thyroid malfunction to hormone imbalance, sleep deprivation to food intolerances or digestive imbalance, and more. Because there are many potential sources of the problem, there isn't a one-size-fits-all treatment that works for all weight loss-resistant individuals. The key is to uncover your own specific chemical imbalance or physiological glitch so that your doctor can target it with a treatment plan tailored to you. Until you talk to your doctor, you cannot be sure what plan is best for you, including if the plan in this book would help you lose weight. And thanks to all the research conducted on the subject in recent years, doctors are armed with more methods for you to manage and treat the core of your problem than ever before. As I revealed earlier in this book, I identify with what you've been going through on a very personal level. Having been an athlete for my entire life, it was more than a little alarming when I found a few years ago that I was struggling to maintain my target healthy weight. I was moving in what felt like slow motion across the tennis court in my afternoon games and feeling winded far too easily. The subtle signs started to add up. And despite my efforts to push myself harder physically and becoming hyper-aware of my food intake, my body simply said, "Sorry, buddy, but you're wasting your time here. Something is off." So I pursued the medical experts for answers. It turned out that I have metabolic syndrome, a genetic disposition that was transmitted to me from my father. The tests revealed that my triglycerides were sky high, as was my blood sugar, and to top it all off, I had insulin resistance, so I was not processing sugar properly. My body was just hanging on to absolutely everything I put in it and not letting go. I simply wasn't configured for weight loss. The good news for me, and for you if you fit the bill, is that all of this is manageable with the right nutritional and medical plan. I got started right away working with my doctors to get my blood sugar stabilized and bring everything back into proper balance so my body would start releasing the weight again. But this experience was about much more than just my weight. I shudder to think where I might be now had I not jumped right on this problem, because I was unwittingly on the road to some devastating illnesses, including heart disease. Now that I've learned, with the help of my doctor, how to manage my body chemistry, my weight has remained in a safe range and I am healthier overall. The very same can happen for you if you talk to your doctor. I really want you to get this. You are not destined to be overweight or obese just because you got a raw deal in the metabolic or biochemical department. You do not have to feel trapped in your body anymore. I know you'd do anything to get out of the quicksand and onto dry land and win back control over your weight. I'm extending you a helping hand, so read carefully because it's more than just your weight we're talking about now. It's your life. Identifying signs of weight loss resistance. If all of this is resonating with you and you have serious concerns that there could be a physiological cause for your inability to lose weight, then the first order of business is to closely examine your symptoms so that you can present them to your physician. To get you started on your internal inspection, here is a list of some common symptoms to discuss with your medical professional because they might indicate weight loss resistance. But just remember, this is not an exhaustive list, and if you are experiencing any physical issues that you are worried about, you should bring them to your doctor's attention. Do you find yourself unable to lose weight, despite closely following a healthy eating plan and exercise program? Has your physician diagnosed you with or medicated you for three or more of these conditions? High triglycerides, 150 or higher. Low HDL cholesterol, less than 50. High blood pressure or elevated blood sugar. Do you experience gastrointestinal symptoms such as diarrhea, constipation, acid reflux, nausea, vomiting, or bloating 2 times or more per month? Or do you notice any of these digestive symptoms or headaches after eating wheat, dairy, soy, eggs, or nut products? Is your natural waist measurement, the area 1 inch above your belly button, 35 inches or more if you're a woman, or 40 inches or more if you're a man? Have you recently been experiencing disruptive sleep patterns, such as waking up often during the night or finding it difficult to fall asleep? Or do you sleep 6 or fewer hours most nights of the week? Are you feeling any of these symptoms? Increased sensitivity to cold, drastic changes in your body temperature, thinning hair, excessively dry skin, hoarseness, memory loss, or difficulty concentrating? Have you recently been under chronic, ongoing stress in your life? The kind of stress that you cannot seem to resolve? Take a moment here to measure your stress level on a scale from 1 to 5, with 5 being the highest level of stress and 1 being the lowest. Is your stress level 3 or higher? Are you on any of these medications? Antidepressants, diabetes medications, steroids, blood pressure medications, anti-seizure drugs, sleeping pills, birth control, or any form of hormone replacement therapy or HRT? Do you use or abuse illicit drugs or abuse prescription medications that have not been prescribed to you? For women only, have you been told by a doctor that you are menopausal or perimenopausal, or have you ever been diagnosed with polycystic ovary syndrome? Or are you often experiencing 2 or more of these symptoms? Hot flashes, mood swings, tender breasts, vaginal dryness, excessive sweating, or changes in menstruation? You cannot know with certainty if you fall into this weight loss resistance category without a medical evaluation because everyone's body chemistry is different. There are specific tests that can give your doctor the data needed to properly diagnose you and create a treatment plan, but the idea is to be an informed patient by asking the right questions and providing the right information when you visit your doctor. Collecting data. When I visited the doctor with my initial concerns, I didn't just plop down on the exam table and say, "Hey doc, I can't lose weight. Fix me." Instead, I did my homework and provided my doctor with the whole picture. No one knows my body better than me, and no one knows yours better than you. So be your own advocate by telling your physician the whole story. Your whole story includes any of the symptoms just mentioned, any other symptoms you are concerned about, as well as a complete list of all the vitamins, supplements, and medications you're taking because they could affect the way your body functions or the way it stores food. They might not seem significant to you, but your doctor could very well spot something on your list that's a potential culprit. Refer to the checklist in the Collecting Data section of your user guide to see what else you should share with your doctor. You should also bring a food journal like the one you filled out in Chapter 3, or at least a list of foods you've been eating often or any new foods you've recently started eating. This may tip off your doctor to any food sensitivities or contraindications of certain foods with certain medications. You might have developed or always had a dairy intolerance, for example, and the simple act of removing dairy products from your life could help you get rid of bloating. Include in this list your current alcohol intake, even if it's just a glass of wine in the evenings, because that can play a role. And if you are using medical marijuana or illicit drugs, you need to be honest with your doctor about that too. Everything you're consuming could be an important clue in your weight loss mystery. Another critical factor you need to share with your physician is your current activity level. If you used to be a 3 times per week gym goer, but in the last few months you've called a ceasefire on all exercise because you can barely drag yourself up a flight of stairs, much less work out, that's significant. Or if you've amped up your exercise to a frenzied pace in a desperate attempt to move the needle on the scale, that's important too. Chronic stress can have a substantial effect on your biochemistry and is definitely something to discuss with your physician. Stress comes in many forms, but it is insidious and it can ravage your organs and bodily functions. If you're living each day as though you're a rat in a maze with no exit, there's no doubt that stress is taking a physical toll. Bring it up so your doctor can inspect you for adrenal fatigue and other physical symptoms of chronic stress. Sleep is also a key piece to this puzzle. Have you had problems sleeping lately? Do you take sleeping medications regularly? Are you hardly ever getting 7 to 9 hours of sleep per night? Are you sleeping too much? Tell your doctor if you have experienced any irregularities in your sleeping patterns. It may help to write down your sleep pattern for 2 to 3 nights in a row before you go in. Now let's talk in a little more depth about a few common causes of weight loss resistance and the diagnostic tools used to identify them. I want you to be well informed about these causes, but this information in no way substitutes for the opinion of your doctor. It is imperative that if you think a medical problem is making it difficult to lose weight, that you talk to your physician. Metabolic syndrome. According to guidelines set by the American Heart Association, when you have three or more of the following factors, you have metabolic syndrome: high blood pressure, high blood sugar, excess visceral fat, an accumulation of fat around your belly area, and abnormal cholesterol levels, such as low HDL or high triglycerides. This puts you in a higher risk category for some dangerous illnesses, including type 2 diabetes, cardiovascular disease, stroke, some cancers, liver disease, and more. If you think you are in this category, then there are some tests you need to request from your physician. But first, there is one test you can do on your own. In Chapter 4, I asked you to take an accurate waist measurement. If you're a woman and your waist measures 35 inches or more, or if you're a man and it measures 40 inches or more, you have one of the conditions for metabolic syndrome. The tests you should request from your doctor are as follows. Fasting blood glucose. This test determines how much glucose, a certain type of sugar, you have in your blood. Triglycerides. This is typically part of your overall cholesterol panel, and it measures the amount of triglycerides, a type of fat, you have in your blood. HDL. Also a typical part of your overall cholesterol panel, it measures the amount of HDL, your good cholesterol, which helps remove your bad cholesterol that's in your blood. Blood pressure. These days, you can even get your blood pressure checked at a number of local pharmacies, so there's really no excuse for not knowing if you have high blood pressure. Like me, you might have inherited some of these factors. It's frustrating, but guess what? Life isn't fair, so get used to it. These conditions can all be managed with your doctor's assistance and the right treatment plan. Once you get your numbers back into the healthy range, your body will be properly configured for weight loss again. If it was your weight problem that actually caused these issues in the first place, that doesn't mean you're out of luck. You might need the assistance of medication, perhaps temporarily, in combination with your new healthy eating and exercise plan as prescribed by your doctor. Bottom line, have the tests, talk to your doctor about your concerns, create a clear plan of attack, and more than anything, don't give up. Thyroid hormone imbalance. When your thyroid hormone goes haywire, you could experience all kinds of symptoms, including changes in your body temperature, fatigue, hair loss, hoarseness, changes in texture of your skin, memory issues, and more. If your thyroid gland isn't firing on all cylinders, then you might also start to pack on the pounds because your thyroid is responsible for regulating your metabolism. Don't ignore any of these symptoms and by all means discuss them with your doctor. If your physician thinks you may have an underactive thyroid, he or she will order tests, such as a thyroid ultrasound, to inspect the physical structure of the gland and to see if there are any goiters, and blood tests to check your thyroid hormone levels. Should your test results indicate a problem with the function of your thyroid, there are specific treatments you can undergo, and very often, once the medications get your thyroid back up and running properly, your metabolism will normalize and the excess weight will start to come off. Estrogen imbalance. If you're a woman and you are perimenopausal, menopausal, on hormone replacement therapy, have taken birth control pills for years, or have been diagnosed with polycystic ovary syndrome, it's very possible that your female hormones, especially your estrogen, are imbalanced, which could lead to weight problems. Some symptoms that could indicate a hormonal imbalance are mood swings, tender breasts, fluctuations in menstruation, genital dryness, hot flashes, or excessive sweating. There is a lot of information floating around on the internet about female hormones. As with all of these medical conditions, do not try to self-diagnose. It's important that you go to a gynecologist or general physician whose opinion you trust and discuss your symptoms and suspicions. Don't jump to conclusions or try to take matters into your own hands and treat yourself with herbs and supplements. A doctor should guide your treatment plan if a hormonal imbalance is the cause of your body's refusal to lose weight. Sleep disorders. The lack of good sleep can totally derail your weight loss efforts. Sleep deprivation can lead to more hunger throughout the day, and studies show that sleep-deprived people consume more calories on a daily basis. There are two key hunger-related hormones called leptin and ghrelin that are affected by your sleep patterns. If you're not able to sleep 7 to 9 hours per night, those hormones can get out of sync and cause you to feel hungrier or less satisfied at mealtimes. Sleep problems can also increase your risk of insulin resistance, which basically means that your body produces insulin but isn't using it properly. Insulin resistance can lead to diabetes if it's not caught early. If you have been having trouble falling asleep, or if you're waking up several times a night, you need to discuss this with your doctor. There are several underlying causes of sleep problems, ranging from stress to sleep apnea. Treatment options depend on what's at the root of your sleep issues. Stress fat, cortisol overproduction. Chronic, unresolved stress can wreak havoc on your entire body and all of its organ functions, and it has the power to block your weight loss. When you let stress run amok, it has the ability to put you into a continuous state of fight or flight. That means certain stress hormones, cortisol and adrenaline, are being pumped into your system so much that it begins to negatively impact many of your body's most basic functions. If you think chronic stress has a chokehold on your mind and body, your doctor can help. It might be a matter of learning to manage the stress through simple cognitive behavioral exercises, or certain medications could even help out your brain chemistry. Regardless, do not let another day pass without seeking medical guidance. Digestive tract imbalance. If you're regularly faced with digestive symptoms such as bloating, acid reflux, nausea, diarrhea, constipation, or abdominal pain or discomfort, especially in connection with specific foods, you might have developed some food intolerances or sensitivities that are contributing to weight issues. It's also possible that you have an imbalance of your intestinal bacteria, which can occur for many reasons, including as a reaction to the use of antibiotics or nutritional insufficiencies. Or you might be suffering from an ulcer or GERD, which stands for gastroesophageal reflux disease, which can significantly affect your eating patterns. Digestive symptoms can be extremely disruptive to your life, and they can also be a source of embarrassment. But your doctor can do several tests to determine what's causing your digestive distress. The tests depend upon your specific symptoms and get you back on track with the right medication. Probiotics have been a life-changing treatment for many people, but talk to your doctor before you begin using any over-the-counter probiotics. If food intolerances or sensitivities are found to be the source of your gastrointestinal distress, your doctor might recommend removing certain foods from your diet. If any of those foods are ones included in this diet plan, by all means, heed the advice of your doctor. In the Allergy Alert in Chapter 7, you'll find a concise list of alternatives for foods in my plan that are commonly associated with intolerances. You can also find this list in the Allergy Alert section of your user guide. Taking action. Now that you have a glimpse into some of the common causes of weight loss resistance, don't just smile, nod, and then promptly ignore all of it. If medical testing and your physician's expertise reveal that you do, in fact, fall within the category of the weight loss resistant, I am telling you that it's not the end of the world. In fact, it's an important first step to becoming weight loss triumphant, because you will finally learn the proper ways to manage your unique biochemical configuration. You can, at last, win control over your weight. You should feel lighter already now that the yokes of guilt and shame have been removed from your shoulders. On the other hand, I want to put you on high alert for a certain reaction you might have if you find out you are not currently configured for weight loss. If you learn that your issues are, for example, inherited, then your knee-jerk reaction might be to just give up the ghost. Well, it was just meant to be, I guess. I'm going to be fat for the rest of my life, just like my parents, and if I die young, then I might as well go out with a beer in my hand and a pizza in my lap. That attitude doesn't cut it, not even close. Just because a few genetic cards are stacked against you, that doesn't mean you quit playing the game. This is when you get busy. This is the time you put your health on project status and you reprioritize so you can focus on doing whatever it takes to bring the balance back. There's really no excuse. Others in your position have done it, so you can too. No matter what treatment plan you'll now be following in order to achieve that balance, you've got to give your body time to reconfigure itself. Change doesn't happen overnight, so don't get frustrated if the fat doesn't instantly start melting like butter on hot toast. It's very likely that your body will go into temporary shock when you make a change. That's a function of our ability to survive. When homeostasis is disrupted, our bodies want to hang on to all the fat in case there are long, starving days ahead. Your body can learn that it doesn't need to go into starvation mode and store everything it's given, but it'll take a little while as you work through your prescribed treatment plan. You may have to work a little harder and have some patience, but good days are ahead. Your decision to seek medical support will be a game changer. Remember, winners do things losers aren't willing to do, and you're a winner. Part 5. Protecting Your Weight Loss for a Lifetime. Chapter 12. Maintaining Your Success. The Management Phase. I don't want you to keep accepting what life deals up rather than working to get what you want, need, and deserve. Dr. Phil McGraw. Weight loss success is not a one-time, fleeting moment of achievement that fades into the background of your life. Overcoming a weight problem, no matter how big or small that problem was, is a daily achievement. Think about it this way. When you graduate from high school or college, walk across the stage, and accept your diploma, that's thrilling, right? It's something you never forget because you're proud of your accomplishment. But it is also final because it represents the end of a journey. Not so when it comes to weight loss. When you step on that scale and finally see a healthy number, one that you haven't seen in a long time, if ever, it's exhilarating, and I want you to take pride in that victory. You did that. You won the battle. But you shouldn't think of this achievement as final. Your weight loss is an ongoing journey, one that you live every day. I don't want you to take it for granted, or else you run the risk of feeling invincible, like you can go back to all your bad behaviors without gaining back the weight. By the time you arrive at the management phase of this diet, you will have formed many healthy habits and you will have developed a healthier relationship with food, so maintaining your healthy weight should be easier for you now than it was before. But you need to guard against the various danger zones and traps that can ruin everything you've done to this point. Later in this chapter, I will help you see around corners by identifying those common pitfalls so you can avoid them. The management phase is a way of eating and living that you can truly do for the rest of your life. Because you've already spent a number of days eating healthy meal portions spaced over the span of your day, and you've familiarized yourself with your hunger signals, you are starting to feel like you're on autopilot. Your body is used to this new way of eating, and if you continue to pay attention to your needs, you can keep yourself on track without having to obsessively think about food. What now? The first order of business after you've completed Phase 3 is to record your weight and measurements in Chapter 4 of your user guide. If you have reached your goals, it's time to move on to the management phase of the diet. Management Phase Guidelines. The management phase is similar in many ways to the previous phases in our plan. You're still eating 4 meals a day, spaced roughly 4 hours apart. Include at least 2 of the 20-20 foods with each meal, one of which can be hot or cold green tea. Besides the management phase meal options we'll discuss below, all of the meals in phases 2 and 3 are open to you. Just don't select phase 1 meals during the management phase. Those were designed specifically for the initial part of this plan. You are no longer in that phase. The hunger and fullness scale is still your valuable ally in this campaign. Use it to determine when you are full, which should now always be your prompt to put down the fork. Sensible splurges are most definitely allowed during the management phase, as long as you follow the rules we laid down in Chapter 8. If old habits start to creep back in and you find yourself eating for the wrong reasons, remember to take those essential 30 seconds before each meal and assign positive value to the food you are about to enjoy. Management phase meal planning. Planning your management phase meals is easy. Here's how. First, select two 20-20 foods that you would like to eat. Then, see where the foods you selected fit within the meal framework and fill in your choices in the management phase meal planning section in your user guide. Note, mustard and green tea are great choices, but they don't fill any of the categories. If you're not sure where the 20-20 foods for your meal fit, refer to the list in the management phase meal planning section of your user guide that breaks them down by category. Sample meals. In the sample meals section of your user guide are some sample meals to get you started, but I encourage you to get creative. Any item with an asterisk is a 20-20 food. You should not feel like these are the only meals you can eat. That would get pretty boring. The whole idea is to keep up with plenty of variety and have fun seasoning and flavoring your food, because this time you are not rebelling or feeling like you're in a prison of bland, flavorless foods. Pitfalls to weight management. Remember those pitfalls I briefly mentioned earlier in this chapter? Well, here they are, and here's what you can do to avoid them. Self-sabotage masquerading as celebration. The first pitfall to avoid has to do with how you react to the excitement of reaching your goal. Go back and review the healthy rewards you wrote down in Chapter 8 and make sure you are rewarding yourself for this achievement in a non-food, healthy, and positive manner. In other words, don't sabotage yourself and your weight loss by running out to eat, drink, and be merry until you're busting at the seams. You can experience the same euphoric payoff of a celebration without binging on food or alcohol. This is true going forward, too. Anytime you're seeking a reward, for example, after a long day of work, a promotion, or just a fun weekend, make sure you're not actually punishing yourself. Fixed fat beliefs. Once you've lost a significant amount of weight, other people might take notice and pay you compliments. If you hear what they're saying, but every time you look in the mirror, you still see a fat person staring back at you, it could be that you've got some fixed fat beliefs about yourself. These beliefs are dangerous because they limit you psychologically and keep you from accepting your own success. They can ultimately set you up for gaining the weight back. Combat these beliefs by getting comfortable looking in the mirror and getting used to your new appearance, forcing yourself to do things that once made you uneasy, such as wearing a bathing suit or attending parties you'd usually skip, and exercising even more to improve your body image. The goal is to replace any self-defeating thoughts with positive, realistic affirmations and alternatives. Remember when you came up with your 20-20 vision of the future? Well, that future is now your present if you've reached your weight loss goals or you're getting close. So what's stopping you from appreciating the vision you know you deserve and have worked so hard to achieve? Guilt gets you nowhere. In this plan, I'm not asking you to strive for perfection. I'm asking you to strive for excellence. You're going to be less than perfect, and that's okay, because what we're looking for is a pattern across time. It's not what you do on any given day. It's what you do on most days. There's nothing you can do today to lose all of the weight, and there's nothing you can do today to keep you from losing all of it. So if you deviate, or maybe inadvertently eat something that you thought was healthy but turned out to be loaded with sugar, for example, it's not the end of the world. You'll bounce back. But if you mess up and let yourself feel consumed with guilt over it, you'll endanger your success. As we say in Texas, guilt is like rocking in a rocking chair. It's something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. You don't need guilt on this diet, because this diet is driven by programming, not emotion. So if you skip a workout or eat a donut one day, do not fall into the guilt trap and risk returning to the same emotion-fueled behavior that got you here. Get up, dust yourself off, and carry on. Remember how getting off track makes you feel so that you don't repeat the behavior tomorrow. Failure to self-monitor. You need to stay in the habit of keeping tabs on your weight and measurements to make sure you're remaining within a healthy range. Monitor yourself regularly to ensure that you're still applying positive meaning to your meals, following the sensible splurge rules, and maintaining your no-fail environments. Don't relax your efforts so much that you lose sight of your goals and let your weight creep back up. Acute stress or crisis. You can't predict when life will throw you a curveball, but you can decide now that when tragedy strikes or something triggers an acute stress response, you will still put yourself and your goals first by not allowing emotions to drastically change your eating and exercise behavior. We've talked about how you will no longer use food to solve any problems other than genuine hunger. So when stressful times hit, that's no time to let go of that pact you've made with yourself. That may have been your old way of coping, but that doesn't work for the new you. You know it doesn't help the situation. In fact, it will probably make it worse. Talk about this with one or several of your supporters now so that they can remind you and help strengthen you when the time comes. Stealthy saboteurs. Continue to keep your guard up against saboteurs. They sometimes seem to come out of the woodwork, and you might be surprised how vicious even a close friend can be when they're overcome with jealousy. Your success makes them feel like more of a failure. Beware of friends or family members who try to get you off track. You know what's right for you. If they're pushing cake, pizza, or ice cream in your direction, politely decline. Turn to your supporters and don't let the stealthy saboteurs get under your skin. Are you stressed from overscheduling? Especially if you're a parent, it can be very easy to fall into the trap of overscheduling and spreading yourself too thin. If you hit the ground running every morning and feel like you can't take a breath until bedtime, you could be putting your weight management in jeopardy. If you don't put yourself first, you could very easily fall back into the old habits that made you gain the weight in the first place. Use these tips to get your hectic life back under control. Examine your motivation. Are you trying to be all things to all people, often playing the role of hero or martyr? Make sure your motivations are healthy ones that allow you to take care of yourself first and foremost so you can be there fully for others. Get okay with delegating. The old adage, if you want it done right, do it yourself, just doesn't work across the board. You've got to conserve your time and energy by delegating tasks to others. And if your husband doesn't fold the laundry as perfectly as you do, is that really going to matter in the grand scheme of things? No is not a bad word. Identify the responsibilities you've taken on, and if any of them can go by the wayside to create more time in your schedule, then they need to go. And when new demands on your time arise, don't be afraid to politely say, "I have enough on my plate right now, so I'm going to pass on this opportunity." If you keep giving of yourself and never saying no, others will continue to take from you. Refusing to jeopardize your personal goals in exchange for doing everything asked of you does not make you a bad person. Schedule me time. If you can't remember the last time you spent an hour doing something you want to do, then you need to pull out the calendar and schedule time that is yours and yours alone. This needs to become a part of your weekly routine in order to maintain your mental, physical, and emotional health. You now have the tools you need to create and enjoy meals, whether at home or at a restaurant, that will support your weight loss goals. You also have a three-phase plan that you can repeat until you have achieved your ideal, healthy weight and a management system that will help you sustain this weight for the rest of your life. In the next chapter, I'm going to show you some of the incredible ways that the inner workings of your body can be transformed by losing weight in this healthy manner. I hope it will open your eyes to the power you have to change your destiny with the adjustments you are making to your lifestyle. The future is not yet written, and the pen is in your hand. By making the bold decision to change the way you treat your body, you are writing a new, healthier, and longer future for your life. Chapter 13: Your Return to Health. What lies behind you and what lies in front of you pales in comparison to what lies inside of you. Ralph Waldo Emerson. Here's a riddle. What's the world's most dangerous weapon? Answer: the fork. It's true. The fork destroys more lives, creates more disease, and takes more years off people's lives than all the typical weapons you might be picturing combined. Eating the wrong foods can seriously endanger your health. But the opposite is also true. Eating the right foods, the ones we've been talking about, can improve your health. I want to talk to you about all the ways in which losing weight on this plan can protect and preserve your health. In Chapter 4, I ask you to think about all of the ways your weight has been standing in the way of what you want. In our survey, we asked about people's motivation for losing weight and found that 48.6%, just about half of the respondents, rated health concerns as a 10 out of 10. It was their top motivation for wanting to lose weight. Another question in the survey asked whether a medical doctor had recommended that they lose weight, to which 62.7% answered yes. Now, that's serious. On some level, you know your health has been jeopardized by your weight problem. But I want to offer you hope by showing you that you can help improve your health through healthy eating and exercise. Do you have a high-mileage heart? The average person's heart pumps blood through 60,000 miles of blood vessels every single day. Yes, you heard that right. Since your heart is working as much as 30% harder to pump blood throughout your body if you're significantly overweight, you can just tack on an extra 18,000 miles of blood vessels through which your heart is pumping blood per 24-hour period. Think of it this way. It's 24,000 miles around the entire Earth. So if you're overweight, your heart is pumping blood the equivalent of 3/4 of the way around the whole planet every single day. You're asking a lot of your heart. But reaching a healthy weight through eating right and exercise can help your health, including the health of your heart. Health changes. Let's look together at some of the positive health changes that scientists have attributed to weight loss. A healthy diet and exercise can help make you healthier overall, though any specific changes to your health are based on complex factors, such as your genetics. I wanted you to be aware of potential positive health changes to help motivate you to take charge of your health, but you should discuss any specific health concerns with your doctor to determine the best plan of action for you. 1. Smaller waistline. In the survey, I asked a question about which body part you most want to change. A whopping 93.7% of people chose belly. No one likes having extra jiggle around their midsection, but there are clear-cut reasons why belly fat endangers your health. That fat beneath your abdominal wall can increase inflammation throughout your body, raise your blood pressure, slow your metabolism, and lower your immunity. 2. Lower resting heart rate. Your heart is a pump. At its most basic level, it is a pump whose job it is to circulate blood throughout your body. Your resting heart rate is the number of times your heart beats per minute while you're at complete rest. This is an important indication of your heart's health because if it's working overtime, even when you're sitting around, you can imagine how hard it's pumping when you're active and moving. If you're overweight or obese, your heart rate may be higher than average. Losing weight through healthy diet and exercise may help you lower your heart rate. 3. Breathing easier. If you felt out of breath going up one flight of stairs, or you've had to take a break just walking to your car from the grocery store, then you know the effects that your weight and physical fitness have on your lungs. But as you lose the weight and get in shape, you may notice that you are able to breathe a little easier and do not get as fatigued by everyday physical tasks. 4. Sharper mind. Junk food and fast food have been shown in studies to impair brain function. Think about that for a second. The food you eat has a direct impact on how your brain works. Eating healthier could not only affect your weight, but may help you feel less foggy and to think more clearly. 5. More energy. Eating healthy and exercising could also help you feel more energetic. Carrying around extra weight could be one of the reasons you feel worn out. For example, if you are 20 pounds overweight, just imagine picking up a 20-pound piece of furniture, strapping it to your back, and hauling it around everywhere you go. That's basically what you've been doing with the extra weight. So as you lose weight, you might find the get up and go that you've been missing all this time. 6. Better sleep. Studies suggest that people who eat healthy are more likely to sleep better. Regular exercise is also an important factor in helping you rest easier. 7. Blood pressure. Lowering your sodium intake and adding plenty of whole fruits and vegetables to your diet may help you maintain a healthy blood pressure. Exercise can also have an effect on your blood pressure. 8. Cholesterol. Healthy eating and exercise can also be an important part of maintaining a healthy cholesterol. 9. C-reactive protein. This test is an indication of how much inflammation there is in your body. Doctors now believe that inflammation is at the core of most modern-day diseases, including heart disease, diabetes, cancer, and more. A healthy, balanced diet and exercise could have an effect on your C-reactive protein level. 10. Blood sugars. Bad food habits such as large portions, erratic meal schedules, and high-fat, high-sugar, low-fiber foods can all wreak havoc on your blood sugar. Like other effects on health, healthy eating and exercise can help support your blood glucose levels and help your body process sugar and insulin. Acknowledge and attribute. In Chapter 3, we talked about observing yourself succeeding at something, acknowledging that you are living to your potential, and making a positive attribution to yourself regarding that competency. Right now, I want you to observe and acknowledge that you are doing something good for your health by committing to losing weight. Think about any health-related changes you have experienced since starting this diet, such an overall sense of feeling better. Write it down and then recognize that you are someone who has made their health a priority. What's age got to do with it? Ask any woman over the age of 40 if it's harder to lose weight and easier to gain it, and you will hear a resounding yes. It's an unfortunate fact of life that aging, and specifically the fluctuations in hormones associated with aging, has a drastic effect on weight, particularly in women. Yes, changing hormones make women's bodies more likely to store fat and harder for them to lose it. If you're of a certain age and carrying around a lot of extra weight, you should be aware that research shows you're at an even higher risk of type 2 diabetes, various cancers, including colorectal and breast cancer, and heart disease than when you were younger. So just like with weight loss resistance that I discussed in Chapter 11, if you are older and worried about being able to lose weight, I recommend that you talk to your doctor about the best course of action. Even though it might not be as easy to drop 10 pounds as it was when you were 20 years old, with the help of your doctor, you can do it. But what if fat is in my genes? As scientists continue to discover more about the human genome, they're finding out that we have genetic predispositions for numerous health risks, and obesity is no exception. Lately, there has been some buzz in the media about something referred to as the fat gene or obesity gene. It's actually an extremely common genetic variant, which more than a third of the American population carries. But our genes are not the sole determinants of our destiny. Far from it. Even if you carry this gene variant, and even if you are overweight or obese, there were a lot of other factors that had to exist in order for you to get that way. Your environment and your decisions about food, exercise, and lifestyle also likely played a role at how you arrived at this point. Your genetics may have given your body the green light, but ultimately, you were driving that car. But studies suggest that healthy eating and exercise can play an important role in helping you reach and maintain a healthy weight. In one meta-analysis of 45 studies on over 200,000 adults, researchers found that of people who have the obesity gene, those who were getting even a little physical exercise were at a 27% lower risk of being overweight or obese. That's all very encouraging. So you see, your genes do not control you. Even your DNA shouldn't stand in your way of a healthier, happier life. Living life to the fullest. Returning to health means being able to live your life to its fullest potential now and in the future. So take control over your health now and start implementing this plan. I don't want you to miss out on all the incredible things life has to offer and all that you have to offer the world because you are too scared to make a change. Don't you wonder what amazing things you could accomplish if you turned the tide of your life, lost weight, and allowed your body systems to function at a higher level? Stop wondering and start transforming. It could be the best decision you'll ever make. Chapter 14. Conclusion. The New You. I believe we can create moments in time in which all things wrong can be made right. In this book, I've told you what you have to be willing to do in order to succeed at righting the wrongs when it comes to your weight, your health, and your self-image, and hopefully you've already started doing those things every day. In a book I wrote called Life Code, I included a playbook of important strategies, mindsets, tactics, and behaviors to create more of what you want in your life, which I referred to as the Sweet 16. The very first strategy is, you must have a defined image and never go out of character. Since you've begun losing weight and resetting your health, how has your defined image changed? Are you projecting a persona of good fitness because your coworkers and friends see you going to the gym on a regular basis? Do others perceive you as someone who makes nutritious, healthful food choices because of the way you order when you're at a restaurant? Does your family now understand that your health is a top priority because you create time for yourself in the schedule? I'm betting your defined image has shifted in more ways than you might realize, so now you need to embrace that. Identify your newfound strengths and commit to the healthy image and statement that you're projecting. You do what works for you in your life. The difference between now and before you started this diet is that you're seeking a different end goal. Before, you ate what you ate, thought what you thought, and did what you did because that worked to generate the same results they had always generated. That was enough for you then, but it's not enough for you anymore. Now, you've set your sights on a new weight and way of life, so you're doing what works to generate those new end goals. But it doesn't mean you're immune to backsliding. So if you feel yourself giving up some of your control over your habits and behaviors, return to the chapters of this book and the phases of this diet to regain your command. Another important strategy from Life Code is to master the system, be it your workplace, your relationships, anything, and figure out a way to make it work for you. The better you know the system, the better you understand the game and how it's played. Thus, the more likely you are to win. This is true of this diet. Learn it, understand it, and make the lifestyle changes necessary to implement it so you can win at losing weight now and keep winning in the long run. I want you to get what you want, and then keep it and build on it. By finally losing the weight that was holding you back and doing it in a healthy manner, you've opened the door to brand new opportunities to live your life your way. You've fundamentally changed your view of yourself and how you approach everything. Now you've seen yourself start a diet with habits that last a lifetime, and you can look forward to a lot of first times of new, healthy, positive experiences ahead. Here's to the new you. This has been the 2020 Diet, written by Dr. Phil McGraw, narrated by Eddie Garver. Audiobook production by Tom Suzuki. Production copyright 2014 by Bird Street Books.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.